The scene that we hear about in our first reading from the book of Genesis is a memorable one. It seems that it was a hot day, perhaps like some of the hot days that we've had recently. Abraham and his household were encamped near Hebron, near a particular group of trees, some 20 miles south of Jerusalem today. And we read that he was sitting there at the doorway of his tent as the day grew hot. We might well imagine that he was perhaps dozing in the bright light and heat of the day. Then suddenly, he looks up, and there are three men. It seems he had not noticed earlier. And he immediately got up and ran to them. And he starts out by saying, "Do not pass your servant by." And as we hear, Abraham is living out this duty of hospitality that was a very, very important duty in his culture in his day. Not nearly as important in our culture, but utterly crucial in his time. And so it is that he ran to fulfill this duty. And to these three men, he offered, begging them to accept, a cool rest, bathing for their feet, good food to eat. And they accepted. Now we notice what he did not know initially, which is that it was the Lord himself who was visiting him that day. It was the Lord himself that he welcomed. Now Christians have always noticed with interest the fact that there were three men that he saw and wondered what could be the connection here between these three men and the three persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's something good to wonder. But certainly it was the Lord himself that Abraham welcomed and gave hospitality to that day. And those words that he spoke first, "Pass not your servant by," are words that went into a Protestant hymn of the 19th century. The first verse: "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Some 2,000 years after Abraham's time, a little closer to Jerusalem in the village of Bethany, we see a different person, a woman named Martha. And she also had the chance to welcome, we hear in the gospel text, to welcome our Lord Jesus to her village and to her home. And she also had the chance to extend to him hospitality, much as Abraham had done so many years earlier. We can imagine that she also did so with joy and sought with careful love and work to extend to him the gifts and the comforts that she could offer in hospitality. And that she too was glad that he had accepted her offer. The hymn continues: "Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." But the curious thing in this gospel story is that a reversal occurs. Who is the host? Who is the guest? Who is the one seeking to extend hospitality? Who is the one who is accepting or rejecting that plea? This reversal is not the first time that we see this in Scripture. In the Old Testament, for example, in the book of Proverbs, we see the figure of Lady Wisdom calling out in the streets, inviting people to come to her table and learn from her. In the famous Psalm 23, that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is the Lord who sets a table before me, says the psalmist. And it seems that the real host in this gospel reading is our Lord Jesus. That although he is there in Martha's house, he is extending the invitation for her and her sister and anyone else present to come to him and to receive the gifts that he wants to give. He is inviting. He is asking for them not to pass by. And we can take the final verse of this hymn and put it into his mouth. Thou, the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Beloved, beloved, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And in this reversal, the striking thing that we see is that at least within the story that is told, we never know what Martha may have done later on, Martha was passing him by. Mary accepted his invitation and sat there at his feet and listened to his words and received all of the gifts of grace that he wished to give to her. While Martha went off and busied and worried herself. Now, to be sure, she was doing it out of a good motivation. She was trying to extend the duties of hospitality to our Lord Jesus. But who asked her to? That was not what our Lord Jesus asked of her. Where did she get that expectation from? Did her society tell her that that's what she had to do if she was going to be a worthwhile person? Was it something her parents had told her years before? Did she hear it from the media? Was it just the voice of her own guilt or her own insecurity that told her that she wasn't worth very much? That if she wanted the Lord to notice her, she was going to have to do some things for him so that she didn't hear his actual invitation to come and receive his hospitality to her right there with her sister Mary. We recall that our Lord Jesus at one point in the Gospels talks about how the Pharisees tie up heavy burdens and place them on other people's backs without lifting a finger to help them. How tragic it is if we tie up heavy burdens and place them on our own backs, placing demands upon ourselves that our Lord never asks of us. How tragic. It is well worth taking a moment of self-examination, perhaps later on today. Do you consider yourself busy? With what? Do you consider yourself too busy to pray? Why? Who asked you to be busy with all these things? If we feel that we are burdened and overwhelmed, it is probably not the Lord's expectations we're fulfilling. It's somebody else's. We can be far harsher on ourselves than the Lord ever is with us. And so it is so important to turn our ears away from all those other voices and ask the Lord what he wants of us. It may not be comfortable, but it is not crushing. As our Lord Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." So how can we accept the Lord's invitation to sit at his feet, to not pass him by, to listen to him, and to be with him as Mary did that day? I'll offer you three suggestions, three different ways you could perhaps enter into this, three different forms of prayer. The first, and some of you may well do this already, but some of you might not. And if you haven't, then as it was for me, this could be quite a revelation. Think for a moment, if you have or if you had a friend or a family member who you know cares about you, but who lives at a distance. So you see this person every couple of weeks, a month. And so you know this person who cares about you will want to hear everything about what's been happening with you. All of the events, the experiences, your feelings about it. We know what that conversation would be like, right? You know, how we would prepare to meet this person who loves us and to tell that person about ourselves. We'll take just such a conversation and have it with the Lord. Even though he knows all of that about you already, have it anyway. Tell him all those things within your heart in prayer. If you think he doesn't want to hear it from you, he does. Tell him those things in prayer. And then stop and wait and spend some time waiting to see what he will give back to you. Take some time to receive his response, whatever that response may be. So it would be one suggestion of a way to respond to our Lord's invitation. A second one is to pray with Scripture. Open to one of the Gospels, perhaps the Gospel of Luke. You won't be reading for speed or for information, but take just a chunk, a story segment. Read slowly. You might not even get through the first sentence before you pause, because what you're looking for is any word or phrase that catches your attention, that moves you, that triggers something within you. Perhaps something strong, perhaps something so subtle you don't even know what it is. It's just it's snagging your attention for some subtle reason. Stay then. Stop. Stay with that phrase or word. Sit with it. See what the Lord might be wanting to tell you through that particular phrase. Or if it's provoking some sort of word that you want to speak in prayer, then go ahead and speak that. And then after a little while, once you're done with that phrase, then move on. Keep going, and in this way, allow inspired Scripture to be a means of prayer, of hearing the Lord's voice to you and helping you to speak to him as well. A third way to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus is to come to Eucharistic adoration, to come into his presence, his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, whether it be here in the church, which is open every day, or Eucharistic adoration where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. We have an adoration chapel over attached to the pantry building that currently is open on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. You can see the hours printed in the bulletin. It might be that later this year, perhaps, we'll be able to expand that number of days. How good, how necessary, how freeing, how sweet to imitate Mary, the sister of Martha, to come and sit at the feet of the Lord, to take on the one thing needed, which will not be taken from us, and to answer our Lord's plea to us, so busy with so many things, do not pass me by.